Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Well, awesome. It's so good to be with you today. I really, like I said, miss you. But you know, it takes trusting God for me to be okay. And so I don't know if you've been like me this week. We're coming on like the third week of this thing on lockdown. And I am definitely an extrovert. If anybody knows me, I'm like doing something all the time with someone I love. I'm energized by people. I love people. And so there is a season that I'm in right now where I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated doing the same old, same old. I remember going home from work and cleaning the toilets every day and doing the dishes every day and doing the laundry every day. And I was like, it's the same routine every day. And I felt like the Lord was teaching me lessons in that season. And now we're in a new season. And the nice thing about the Bible is I love that it talks about this in Song of Solomon, that there's a season and a time for everything. Isn't that good news? This will not last forever. God is in control. He's doing something new in the world. So let's just hold on and see what he's doing, because I believe he is going to do something in all of this mess. But in it, God is asking us as the church of the Most High God to trust him. Not what the government is saying, not what the cities are saying, not what the news reports are saying, not what people are in fear over, not any of that. But he's saying, what am I saying, daughter? Are you hearing my voice? Are you hearing the voice of those around you? And I was really challenged with that this week. New reports came out about asthma and how this could affect children. Well, my son has been healed of asthma, and it kind of kicked back up again later this year, and I was like, what is going on? And he has been on those ventilators that they're talking about several times. In fact, he was born on Easter. He was a miracle child. I was just amazed. I remember he was born on Easter Sunday, and there was an earthquake, and the whole building shook, and I was like, woo, he has a call on his life. And then the next Easter, my husband was in this pulpit preaching, and we were in the hospital on a ventilator with my son. And I just remember thinking, this is not what I thought I would be doing this next Easter. And you know, it took faith for me, whether that ventilator was there or not. I knew my God was going to come through for my son. And I was challenged and I was tested in that. And I had to know who my healer was. It wasn't the ventilator. It wasn't the doctors. It wasn't the hospital. Now, I'm grateful for them. I am so grateful for them. I am praying for them daily. We are in contact with them. We are believing God with them. But I'll tell you something. There comes a moment in a Christian's life when you realize that there is nothing this world can give you, and the only one that has that answer, his name is Jesus. And he's the one you can trust in. He's the one that is faithful. He's the one that will not let you down. He has not forgotten you. Listen to me. He is not shaken by this at all. He's not surprised by these circumstances. He's not overwhelmed with what it is that is happening around us. He already knew it was going to go on. He's already ordained steps. He's already guiding us. He's already leading us. And so that's when God is saying, Church of the Most High God, it is time for you to grow up. It is time for us to step into some faith. It is time for us to get off of what the world is saying and get on what God's word is saying. And there is a time and a season, and the season is now. We are being tested, church. We are being tested that when we are asked to not worship God, what will we do? I'm asking you that now. Will you be a sheep who follows and follows his father's voice? Or are we going to act like goats who we don't know what it is? And God separates the sheep and the goat. And I believe right now the church is being tested. I believe that we are being tested in our faith, tested in our walk with God. Maybe you've been on shaky ground and you haven't trusted God. God is saying, would you lean on me? Get back into my spirit. Get back into covering with me. Get back into my shelter and the covering of the Almighty. Because he wants to protect you. He wants to keep you. He wants to guard you. He has every answer you need. And I'm here to say to you that the Bible is real. It is evident. It is more today prevalent to what it is happening in our world than ever before. And so when the world wants to shut us down and say, well, you're calling it faith, but I'm calling it this, you say, no, I'm calling it what my God told me to say. My God says he is more than enough, so I'm not going to worry about my needs. I'm a tither, and God's going to provide for me. You want to get in fear? You want to get wishy-washy? You want to report all the deaths and everything? Why don't we start speaking life again into our lives? And I felt like God was saying, stir them up. Activate these girls back into faith. What does faith look like? Well, faith, it's going to take some faith to begin to trust God, Did you know that that just doesn't come? Sometimes trusting someone is stepping out on the ledge and going, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but I'm going to do it anyways. You know, it was Peter walking out on the water when Jesus said, come to me. And it was that he looked down and he stopped trusting God. He got his eyes off Jesus. These are not the times for us as the body of Christ to get our eyes off of Jesus. It is right now more evident in our lives that we need to be in our word like we've never been before. We need to be on our knees. I wore my holy jeans today because I have been praying like I've never prayed before. I am losing sleep because I'm up praying for you guys. I'm up praying for this world. I'm up praying for President Trump. I'm up breaking the bind of the devil. I'm up altering his plans and his schemes. And you see, you've got to remind yourself that you are a daughter of the Most High God. And if you said yes to Jesus one day and you said, you are my God and come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life, then you are saint of the Most High God. What does that mean? That means saints can rest in him and trust in him. And that means that we have an authority that we carry on this earth. And so when we walk out our doors of our house, we don't have to be afraid of any plague that's going to come near us. When I've got to go see my mom and I got to give her a hug, guess what? I'm in faith that I'm going to not infect her and she's not going to infect me, but we're in faith that God is going to do something in us. Because let me tell you something right now. We can walk in fear and we can keep letting this happen, or we can start standing up as a church and going, no, we're done. We're going to stand in faith and we're going to cover our house with the blood of the Lamb. That is why Jesus came and he died on that cross. And so we can trust him, we can believe him, and we can walk this thing out. If you're tuning in for the first time, you're like, who is this crazy lady? I am a woman on fire for God. I am a woman that sees what the devil is doing, and I'm trying to wake the church up and say, do you not see what he's doing? This is so evil and it's demonic. And we as the church carry the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. And it's time for us to stand up, to rise up, and to pull out our swords and our shields. And how do we do that? We trust our God. And number one, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go into four things that we're going to get into. And let's review last week. We talked about four things last week. We talked about that he has to be first in our lives. Some of us have been playing patty cake with God. Some of us have been riding that fence with God. He's not really been first in our lives, and I'm right now here to tell you, it is time for you to repent and get right with God. These are not days that we're getting to play around with. God is asking us, and he's drawing us, and he loves you. He's paid the fullest price for you, and it is your turn to respond to who he is. And so God needs to be number one in our lives. Number two, we have to believe that he loves us. You know, sometimes we don't think God loves us. Oh, I've messed up too much. He cannot love me. Are you kidding me? He came for the broken and the lost and the hurting. That's who he is. He's so in love with you that you don't even know what love is, because you will never know what true love is until you've met Jesus. And when you know Jesus, you will know love. So we have to know he loves us. We do not have to live in fear, girls. We do not have to live in fear. You know, I know fear. We can say, oh, well, we're not in fear. And we struggle with that as humans. All of us, Pastor Jess does too. And you have to work through that. And it takes time to work through these things. So work through it, girlfriend. When you feel it, work through it. When you feel it, speak the word over it. When you feel it, don't let it come near your borders. When you feel it, go, this is not what the Spirit of God is asking me to be in and to step into and walk out. You see, God has a plan for us. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we're doing. And we have to speak the word over ourselves, guys. We have to. So let's go into some new ones this week. Trusting God requires a few things of us. What does trusting God mean? Now listen to me. You're going to think the word trust and you're going to base it off human relationships. Maybe you've had a divorce. Maybe you've been, I was always the girl that was cheated on. Always. Like every single relationship, I was the one that got cheated on. And so when I met Dan, it was like, I had to get healed. I had to get restored. God had to renew my mind and my heart so that I could receive Dan with the pure love that he was giving to me. And I want today to challenge you. Let's not put God in the box of our human feelings and emotions and experiences. God is God. And God does not equal to what humans can bring us. But trusting God is something we can always stay anchored in, always put our trust in. It's something that is reliable and will never let you down, will never leave you, never forsake you. It will be your strength in this time and in this need. And so what it takes and what it requires, number one, is faith. It's going to require faith for us to trust God. What do we mean by that? I want you to go with me to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. I love this verse because so many times faith is not just believing, it is believing, but it's also knowing. It's a belief like, I know that God is real. I know God's on my side. I know he loves me. I know I can rely on him and that he's got my back. That's what faith is. Let's talk about this in Hebrews. Let's go down to Hebrews. This is women's Bible study, okay? So we are going to take a little bit more time if that's okay with you. And we're going to get into what the Bible talks about. And I want to just go quickly through this. It probably will not be up on the screen because I'm scanning through some of this. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That means the word of God, the spoken word of God manifested is why the world was created. When God spoke, the earth was formed. When God spoke, the earth and the sea separated and they became the ocean and the earth. When God spoke, animals were created. When God spoke, he created man. When God spoke, he put man to sleep and he pulled from the womb or from the rib and there was Eve. You see, God has the power. His words are powerful. And when he speaks, it exists. I love that. And it says that the world was formed so that the things which were seen were made things visible. By faith, Abel offered to God more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and through this obtained a witness that was a righteousness, God testifying of his gifts. Oh, not just him. Are you ready, guys? We're going to go down some people. So when you think you can't have faith, I want to remind you those that came before us, those that paid a price before us, those that walked this thing called faith out. And listen to me, harder times than we're living in now. They were in worse circumstances. They were living in harder times. And when we can go back into the Word of God and find out what the Word says and how people overcame, we can get encouraged and our hearts can be built up. Verse 5, Enoch was taken away and he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Ooh, I want to please God with my faith. How about you? How about 6? And without faith, it is impossible to please him. You cannot please God without faith. So what do we got to do? We got to trust God in faith. Let's keep going. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his household, which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, right standing with God, which is according to his what? Faith. You see, Noah couldn't have done any of that without faith. And then he did it blindly. Can you imagine God saying, I need you to build an ark. I'm going to flood the earth. What? People thought he was crazy. What kind of faith is God asking us to take right now in this season? What kind of faith is he requiring of us to grow up in and to take steps that would not be popular? You see, God is speaking to his women. For we have waited for the city and the foundations, who the builder and the maker is God. Here we go. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength and conceived the seed and bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. God is faithful to you, so we can have faith in the one who is faithful to us. God took care of Sarah in those times. This goes on and on and on. I want you this week to read Hebrews 11 for yourself. Okay, small group leaders, I want you to talk about Hebrews 11. Because when you begin to study and remind yourself to meditate, it builds your faith up. It takes the fear and it squashes that fear and it starts to build, like, they did it, I can do this. What am I, okay, come on, girlfriend. You got this. And sometimes you're going to have to go in your closets and those kids are bugging you and you're stuck in the four walls of your house and you're going, how can I be the church right now, God? I'm not even allowed to go do anything. And you know what? God will give you a creative wisdom. He will give you creative wisdom to bring Jesus to your neighbors, to the world around you, to the social media content. contacts. He will open up doors that have not been opened yet that you've been praying for all these years. You just keep the faith, women. You keep the faith. I love that it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith and we don't walk by sight." Listen, it's not what you can see that is faith. It's when you can't see it and you believe anyways. That's when you've stepped into faith. When you know that what you cannot see, that you have power over it, that you can believe the impossible for the possible to happen. You can ask God for those things which do not seem like they can happen, and God will show up on the scene and supernatural things will begin to happen in your homes, in your families. Salvation will reign where it never has reigned for you before. And I'm here to say, keep your faith. Trust in God. Hebrews 6:11 in the Amplified. I love the Amplified because it's like the woman's version, I believe, of the Bible. And it says, "And we desire for each one of you to show the same diligence all the way through." Girls, come on, we got this. We can do this all the way through. "So as to realize and enjoy the full assurance of hope." How many of you need some assurance of hope today? Well, I'm here to tell you his name is Jesus and he's on the scene until the end. So, verse 12, "that you will not be spiritually sluggish." Come on, girls, stand up if you gotta, shake it out. We are not gonna be wimpy Christians any longer. We are gonna stand up. We're gonna pull out our swords. We're not gonna be sluggish, but we're gonna be ready for the battle that we are in. We are in a battle and God is ready to use us. So do not be sluggish spiritually. This is what it says. "But well, instead, we will be imitators of those who through faith," those that went before us, Moses and Abraham and Sarah and David, all of them, "lean on God with absolute trust and confidence in him and in his power, and be patient to and by patient endurance." That means this may not be short. I'm frustrated because I thought this thing would be over by now. And now they've just canceled school altogether for the whole year. And I'm here to say, this might be an endurance. This might be a journey. But I'm here to tell you, keep your faith, daughter of the Most High God. You speak the word. You stand like those people that went before us. That great cloud of witnesses is cheering us on right now and saying, come on, church, stay alive. You've got this. He's worth it all. And he's working behind the scenes on our behalf. You see, keep the endurance, even when suffering. Nobody wants to hear that part. Let's just delete that from the scripture, right? Like, I don't want to suffer. But what if they started knocking on your door and persecuting you for loving Jesus? What if? Where would we be? I pray that you are settling these things in your heart right now so that you know that you know that he is your God and you are his daughter. And that you are leading those that you have influence over to him so that they will be resting in the safe and security of his presence. You see, suffering will come. We were never promised not to suffer here on earth. And now, inheriting the promises, what are the promises? That God will never leave us or forsake us. That even in the midst of trial, that he will restore us, that he will keep us, he will protect us, he will hide us from the cleft of the rock. He's got your back, girlfriend. He knows what you need. So when fear wants to creep in, when untrust wants to settle in, you remind yourself that you trust God. I have a story. You know, when I was young, I loved horses. We had horses, and it was probably one of the best seasons of my life because they were just incredible creatures. I mean, when I see a horse now, I'm in awe of God because they're big and they're strong and they're gentle and they're loving unless they're not broken in. And so when you break in a horse, you have to train the horse to be ridden, to be around people, to be in an arena. There's so many things that you have to break a horse in, and this doesn't always go well. When you break in horses, they act one of two ways. Let's say that I should have a Mustang behind me, a Mustang horse up on the screen. And, you know, a Mustang, when they feel that saddle on their back for the first time, they freak out. They can jump forward or they can buck off. They freak out. They flare their nostrils. They fling their head back. You could get trampled by them. Until they understand what it is you're doing, and it's called the breaking in period. Some horses actually freeze. So when that saddle begins to touch them, when things are different around them, they freeze. And I want to pose this question to you. What kind of Christians are we in this situation? Are we those that freak out because our circumstances have changed? Because we're uncomfortable with the way that life is going right now? Or are we going to be like God, like Jesus? And are we as Christians not going to be immature Christians, but strong Christians that respond to trials like the wild horse? Some panic and some cry out to the Lord. What is going on here? And others just freeze and do nothing. Mature Christians are like horses who have learned to trust their trainer. I had a horse, he was 18 hands, and I'll tell you that, he was an Olympic champion. That guy, I could tell him to do something, he would do it exactly. You know why? Because we built trust between us. I could walk up to him and I'd hug him and he'd rub on me. I loved him, his name was Boomer. And there was a relationship between me and him because he was special to me. I could lift up his back foot, I could walk around the back of him and touch his butt so he wouldn't kick me, and he would know I was there and he took care of me. He actually protected me one time from another horse that was crazy. And I'm telling you, when you know your master, you're at rest. You can do what he's asking of you to do, and it takes faith to follow the master. In the sense, this is what is happening to us. How are we responding to all of this? Are we submitting to the hand of our master and knowing that he will do no wrong on our behalf? Let's get in faith. Let's trust God. Number two, let's speak the word and break the power of the enemy. A spoken word is so powerful. You heard me talking earlier about Jesus. He spoke things into existence. He said to things something and it would happen. Did you know that when Jesus left this earth, that he gave all authority to us as Christians? And he said, you have the power to trample on snakes and scorpions and demons. You have the power to cast out demons. You have the power to heal the sick. Wait, hold on. Heal the sick? I could just pray for anyone and they can get healed? Absolutely, 100%. Isn't that good news? We should be praising God for that. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of who we are. And I'm here today to remind you that we've got to start speaking the word. We've got to speak the word over these situations. We've got to speak the word into existence of what we need to see over our country. Listen, we have to speak to this coronavirus and tell it and command it to go. We have to break its power. We have to speak the blood of Jesus over it. We can break it off our families. You can break it off your households. You can break it off your church. Break it off your city. Break it off our country. Break it off our world. Lord, we ask that you lift the blinders in Jesus' name of what is happening. And you see, when we begin to speak in faith what the word of God is saying over these things, we no longer have to be in fear. We can be in trust and at rest who God is. I love this. Jesus talks about this in Mark 11, 12 through 14. Turn with me to Mark 11, 12 through 14. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation. I like using different translations. The fig tree. And it says, now the next day, when he had come out from Bethany, now this is Jesus, he's walking through. Hello, he's getting ready for palm branches. He's getting ready for the cross. He's getting ready for all of this is happening. And they're walking through. And it says that he was hungry. Isn't that neat to know that Jesus is hungry like we are? Are you always hungry on this coronavirus? Are you eating way too much at home? Okay, verse 13. That was so had nothing to do with my message. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for the figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from this fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. They moved on and they went on with their day. Verse 20. The next day, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree in which you cursed is withered away. And this was Jesus' response to him, and I believe it's his response to us today. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, listen, daughter, for assuredly he says to us, that whoever says, speak to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that those things that he or she says, come on, church, that it will be done, he will have whatever he says. There, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you will receive them and that you will have them. You see, the words of your mouth are powerful. What are you praying right now? What do you need to start praying right now? What faith prayers need to rise up inside of you? What dangerous prayers are you afraid to pray? Start praying some dangerous, crazy prayers. Start praying those prayers that you know if Satan heard them, he would shudder in his bones and he would run from you. Girlfriend, you are a warrior. You are a princess. And you are the one that when you speak the word of God, it has power to break the enemy. It has power to break assignments over your children. It has power to break the plans and the works of the devil. And I'm here to say, church, it is time for us to arise. It is time for us to take our place and speak the word over these things which are not of God. And so today, let's begin to speak life again. So you see, the story in this shows us that our words are more than what we think. What are you speaking? Are you rehearsing the numbers of deaths? Oh my gosh, today, this many people died. Are you rehearsing all of those things in your spirit, man? Or are you rehearsing, you know what? Less people are going to die in Jesus' name. And I just right now, we command this thing to stop. It will no longer take a life. You begin to speak the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. You see, it's called control of your flesh. It means that we don't go by what we feel. I know that might be a new concept for a lot of people. But this is what the word of God says, to deny your flesh. And so we step into the supernatural and we speak the word over our circumstance. When I have my children and they are sick, the first thing I do is not run to the doctor. The first thing I do is not run to the medicine cabinet. The first thing I do is run to Jesus, because I have learned that when I can pray a prayer of faith over my child, that there is something supernatural that is built up in their hearts and built up in me, that God steps into the scene, and I have seen God heal my children. I saw God heal my son of Tourette syndrome. I saw God heal my children of asthma. I saw God heal my children of broken and desolate hearts. I have seen God heal my son of meningitis. I have seen God show up on the scene and take and remove away things that have been spoken over them. What is it that you need to see God move on your behalf today? What is it that is happening in your bodies? What is it that is happening in your homes that is ungodly, that you need to open that front door and kick that thing out? What is it you need to speak into and you need to tell it where to go, back to hell where it belongs? I'm here to say you have that authority. Begin to speak. Begin to put the word over your family. Begin to put the word in this situation. But listen, when we get into this, we have had other denominations call it blab it, grab it, claim it, blame it, whatever. I don't even know what they call it. I probably said that all wrong. But I'm here to say, be careful how you judge another Christian. They are our brothers and our sisters. And I'm here to tell you right now that this is what the Bible says. And so when we condemn what the Bible says, we are no longer operating in the power of God. And you need all the power of God working on your behalf. And so listen, you start speaking those things into existence. You say, see, there you go with that, speaking into an existence. Absolutely, 100%. And I'm going to show you where it happened. Here we go. We're going to go to Romans 4:17. Romans 4:17. I love the word of God. God shows us how to get in faith. God shows us how to fight the enemy off. God does not leave us on our own. And he's talking to Abraham. And it is written in verse 17, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not, say with me, do not exist, as though they did. Woo, come on. This is what God is saying right there. He's saying he didn't call those things that are. No, because they would already be happening. God called those things that do not exist. So Abraham could believe God for Sarah. Her womb was dead. She was old. This was impossible. But Abraham had a word from God, and he began to speak those things as if they weren't. And you see, when Abraham went through that with Sarah for Isaac, so then when Abraham, all those years later, God said, I want you to sacrifice him, Abraham could go up to Mount Moriah and put that sword over him and know that his God was faithful. Then, and God will be faithful now. And I'm telling you right now, your God is faithful, but you have to believe. And so what do you need to speak and pray over that is you cannot see in your life? You cannot see this coronavirus. We don't see the sickness floating around in the air. But you know what? When I go to the store, I'm like, you will not come near me. I will walk down these aisles and I will not be in fear. I will get what I need and I will not be touched by this plague. You see, I began to speak the word. I began to say, this will not touch my body. And if it did, let me tell you something. It has a good fight up against me because I am not going to let it take me down, take me out. It will not take down this church. It will not take down our people. And I'm here to tell you right now that fighting spirit inside of you needs to arise. It needs to arise. You need to speak some things into existence that haven't been there before. What have you been afraid that maybe God won't come through for you? He's ready. He's on wait to come through for you today. Just begin to speak the word of God. It takes trust to do this. Brother Hagin once said, we have to tell those mountains. We have to tell them, or whatever else is looming in front of us, whatever mountain is in front of you, what to do. When a child of God dares to speak the words of faith, mountains must, listen to me, mountains must obey. Some people learn to live with their mountains or their difficulty. Don't get comfortable in your difficulty. Don't get comfortable in those places that are not given to you by God. But we must never do that. Instead, let's dare to conquer it. Take the word of God and begin speaking to each of our mountains that are looming in front of us. Girls, speak faith today. Speak the word of God. You can do this. I love this. There's a picture. Let me go to point number three. You're going to live in peace in the settling of God. Live with a peaceful settling of God. When you trust God, guess what you could do? Isn't that good? So like you can have that fighting spirit, but then you could just be like, God's got this. So I'm a warrior, but I'm under authority and God has got this. God has covered this. And I could be at peace in my everyday and at rest in who he is. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. I don't know about you, but that is such a comforting scripture that when you get fidgety right now on week three, when things are frustrating and you just want life to be back and functioning, guess what? Trust and be steadfast in who he is and not what's going on around us, but stay focused on who he is and put your trust in him. Colossians 3:5 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always, always be thankful. Can you just stop right now and give thanks to God? Give him thanks for whatever's going on in your life. Give him thanks for something that maybe you haven't just stopped and give thanks for. There's a painting, and they should have it up on the screens. And this painting is titled Peace. It depicts waves crashing against the jagged rock edges. It portrays the violence of the crashing storms. It seems anything but peaceful. But down in the small corner of the painting, tucked away in the rocks, is a little bird sitting in his nest, totally oblivious to the raging storm all around him. That is a beautiful picture of peace. You see the bird? We circled it for you. You wouldn't even notice it if you looked at this picture. I had to actually search for this picture. But it's a beautiful picture of what's happening around us right now. The world has shut down. Economies are closing. People are freaking out. But we as Christians, we can stay safe in the cleft of the rock. We know that our God has got our back. We know that he is more than enough and he's going to provide. He's going to take care of us and he's our protector. And just like that bird was at rest, we too can be at rest in these crazy times, in these crazy seasons. So let's be a people that brings peace to the chaos around us. Let's display trust in our Savior, and let's know that he is our anchor in these times. What can you do as the woman of God today to bring peace to those around you? What needs to be spoken again that maybe hasn't been spoken so much this week? Begin to speak those things. Let's review. We need to have faith to trust God. We need to speak the word, and we need to live in a peaceful settling of who he is. If you got something from God today, just give him a thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We pray that it will just stay with us this week, God. Lord, that you would build us up and that you would mature us into the Christians you need us to be for the season and this time that you have called us to live in. Lord, we ask, God, that you would empower us in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.